Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing great today. And sorry I didn't come on yesterday. There was just things beyond my control. And so TGIF, to God be the glory on Friday. And so I called this one, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I got that title from Luke 18, 16, and 17 verses. But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And do not hinder them." Ooh, sorry about that. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter at all." And so, of course, I always want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me play their music. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, and that he will give you above and beyond what you could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill your part of his story. I just ask you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. So thankful and grateful for IHOP Kansas. Such an amazing ministry, touching every generation, really. So beautiful. So it's touched my life, and I know millions of people all over the world. And so I also want to declare Numbers 10:9, Lord, that first of all, it's about the blowing of the horns. And what's so awesome about that is there's different kind of blows to the shofar. They mean different kinds of things. And so it's like a sound of victory, the shofar is. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. And so I'm going to play the recording of the shofar. You ready? Numbers 10:9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then blow an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. And my prayer today is truly that we do become as those little children. You know, I just think about children, how when they're raised in an environment where it's a beautiful environment. They're so free and they play. And when they come to their daddies and they just look up to their daddy, and if their daddy says, "Now do this," they do it. And "Don't do that," they don't do it, because they love their daddy. And it's the same as with the Father in heaven. And we want to love him. And I'm just going to make this part of that prayer, that we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our mind and all of our strength. Lord, and that out of that, as you pour into us, that then we will be able to love our neighbors as ourselves, because on our own we can't do it. And I just say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Lord, I thank you for granting us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know the hope to which we have been called, that we would know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding grace of your power towards us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, which is your body, Lord, us, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is your body, the fullness of you, who fills everything in every single way. You know, and I was pondering on that, that when we receive Jesus, we come with all kinds of big people stuff, I'm going to call it, if you're older, you know, and you receive Jesus when you're older, about, you know, what we think we know about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. Yet, if you're like me, I came to him at 29 years old with a whole bunch of philosophies that weren't biblical, things that I believed that weren't biblical. And as I read his word and he began revealing himself and his true knowledge to me, I was just in awe of who the real Jesus is. And I remember as I learned his doctrine and his ways, I would just look up and say, wow, Lord, none of that stuff I learned is from you. And I think I said, I spent a year saying, ooh, Lord, sorry about that, and sorry about that, and sorry about believing that. Because most of the stuff, I'm not saying all, but much of the things that I believed were not true. They were other people's opinions. They were philosophies. It was mysticism, not of the Bible. It was all kinds of things. And so we never, of course, arrive at knowing everything about him, and we'll keep learning until we go into eternity with him. And I just think about people, and that was me before, you know, I had a conversion experience. That people create their own God. They have their own God menu, you know, according to how they feel and they think how God should be and how God should act and how he should think, and that he should accept everything they feel that their imaginary God should accept about them. And no matter what they do, that should be okay with their imaginary God. And that's just what it is. It's an imaginary God. And if they hear something they don't like about the real God, they become hostile because that does not align with their imaginary God that they've created. They have their own spiritual menu according to their own image and likeness. And so when I had an encounter with the real Jesus, I would read his word, and then I had to decide to become like that little child. And either I would listen to my daddy in heaven and I would obey what he said, or I would be a rebellious child. And you can't do that. You have to decide you're going to listen and obey. But I found out that everything that he says that he is. And it's not according to my opinions or anyone's opinions. It's not according to the opinion of man. It's according to the word of God. Of course, that has to be, the Holy Spirit has to be there to teach you, because it's a spiritual book. And once you have that spiritual birth from above, and you're born into the kingdom of God, into his family, the Holy Spirit starts to teach you, of course, and he sends good mentors, and they all have to align with the word of God, because I want you to think about what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so he will correct his children for their own good. It happens to me. It's happened to me. And it'll happen to you, and it'll happen to, hopefully it won't ever happen again to me. I hope and pray it doesn't. But I was thinking about Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. We have to be willing to be disciplined by our daddy in heaven. And so the Lord addresses the wicked. I wanted to tell you about this because I'll just hear people say, we are all his children, and any way is the way. Well, not according to the Lord, it's not. That is just a wrong opinion. And the Lord actually addresses the wicked who are not his covenant children, and they quote his word out of context. They have no idea what he's about. And I'm going to read something out of Psalm 50, verses 16 and 17. And I want to say this, we are all created by God, but until we are born into his family through the Lord Jesus Christ, God does not consider us his children. Yes, we're his creation, but we're not his covenant children. So we're going to go in Psalm 50, verse 16 and 17. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my word behind you. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Listen to counsel. This is Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. You know, think about the Lord. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. It's just so awesome. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Because if we just refuse to listen and we're rebellious, we just go our own way, and we stray from the knowledge of God. You know, he talks about true knowledge so many times in the Word of God. In Hebrews 12:5, and I'm going to, okay, Hebrews 12:5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons, and that means sons and daughters too, by the way. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, I'm going to say as daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom his father does not discipline? Hebrews 12:8. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And I'm going to add daughters because it means all mankind. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's Revelation 3:19. And I just love how the Word of God gives us pictures of things we could relate to. And if we ponder on it, asking the Holy Spirit to give us his light to understand it, he'll give us revelation of the Word. And it's so comforting to know that we are his children. And when we first come to know him, we are his spiritual babies. Just like babies, when we're first adopted in his family, just like a baby in a natural family, he cares for us like parents take care of their newborn babies. When babies are born, when they need something, all they do is cry. Can you think about that? If you receive Jesus and you're a Jesus lover, and you remember going back there and you did a lot of spiritual crying, but a good parent will run to their baby to see what's wrong. And that's how our Father in heaven is. When his children cry out to him, he's attentive to their cries. And I'm going to go in Psalm 34:15. I'm going to start there. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And then we're going to go in 1 Peter 2:1, because what are those babies, those little spiritual babies, what do they have to do to grow? It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, don't you love that? I mean, the Lord is talking about our senses. He loves it. He wants to teach us. He wants to appeal to us in language that we can know. And so I want you to think about, first of all, think about yourself when you first come, that you're a baby. You know, you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to try to be a grown-up believer when you're a brand-new baby, right? And so think about this. If You have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Isn't that cool? You taste it. Let's go to Matthew 19:13, and let's go to the where I got the scriptures from. And some children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. I'm going to go into Luke 18, 16, and 17. I read those before. I'm not going to read them because that was my title. We're going to go into Psalm 36, 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Isn't that beautiful? It's only the light he shows us. That's what's revealed to us, and that's why it's so beautiful to pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 22. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. And go into Job 23, 11 and 12. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, think about what Jesus said. Men do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Think about Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. What a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and each and every person can know him. That is their decision. That is their decision. So, all right, let us just stop a minute and play a song. And I want to just say that we do not have to do any of this on our own. Yes, we are co-heirs together, and we have our part. God can't do our part, and we can't do his part. So I'm going to play Teach Me How to Lean from Missy Edwards.
Teach me how to lean. I labor not to rest. Show me how to love. Just show all you ever wanted was love from me. All you ever wanted was my attention. To sit here at your feet and tell me the way and call my soul.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just gonna read 1 Timothy 4:6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. And so we have to follow sound doctrine and be nourished on the words of the faith. And it has to be, of course, the Holy Spirit revealing to us. And that's why I always pretty often read to you Ephesians 1:17-22, because it's really a prayer to the Holy Spirit asking for wisdom and revelation. And so we're going to go to Psalm 19:10, which says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. And Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 3:5-3:6. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so it has to be the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word of God to us. And so we're going to go into Peter 2:3-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Yes, it has to be the true knowledge of God. Think about what Jesus said. If you believe in me, as the scriptures say, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So it can't be your own opinion, your own philosophy, your own, well, I think this or I think that. It has to be the true knowledge of God. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Think about what he says to this in Proverbs 23:12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. You're the one that has to make the decision to apply your heart to discipline and your ears too. To apply discipline to your ears to receive the words of true knowledge from God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And these are the things, these are the fruits that the Spirit grows in us. And I want to go into Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, the reason why I wanted to read that first is because of what Jesus said about the house built on the rock. And we know, of course, the rock is Jesus. If you look through all the scriptures, you'll see he's the rock. He's in the Psalms. He's all over the place. He's the rock. And just because you do things in his name doesn't mean you know him. This alone should cause us to take inventory of our motives. These actions are supposed to follow those who believe. If you go into the Great Commission, it says, those who believe in my name, these signs will follow them. And so if you believe in his name, they'll follow you. But if people do them, and they're kingdom things, but don't know him, well, we have to go a little before that and ask, who is a good tree? And that person is the one who eats from the tree of life, who has received him, and Jesus gave him the right to become a child of God. But who is a bad tree? The bad tree cannot bear good fruit because the fruit comes from the Spirit, and you have to have a spiritual birth to be able to eat from the tree of life. So the only ones that can really bear the fruit of God are those who have eaten from the tree of life and have received Jesus in their hearts. And they read the word and they plant his word in their hearts so that they can bear the fruit of God, which I just mentioned. Those are the ones, those are the sons and daughters walking in the Spirit. And so I'm just going to read those scriptures in Matthew 7:22. I'm going to start. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Now, let me just stop right there, because that is the gospel. What did Jesus say? Go, raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the sick. That is not the issue here, okay? That is the kingdom of God. The issue is this. The answer is in Matthew 7:23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it's not that these things are not beautiful. It's just that if they don't know, I don't even know how that continued to play that loud, but okay, where were we? So it's really interesting that that was right before that. And then he says in Matthew 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, those are the ones that may be compared to wise men who built their house on the rock. So it's not just the hearers, it's the one who acts on the word of God. You know, you can hear all day long, but if you don't act on the word, well, listen to what it says in Matthew 7:25 and on. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And we know Jesus is the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so we're going to go into Proverbs 30, verse 4, into a very obviously clear riddle. Who has ascended into heaven? This is in Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? Isn't that powerful? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that beautiful riddle talking about you, Father, and Jesus, your son. We're going to go, okay, the next verse, Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. We're going to go into Colossians 2:8, because this world, its system does not align with the word of God. Philosophy has nothing to do with the word of God. Listen to what it says. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And I can tell you that when I grew up, there were a lot of traditions that weren't from the Lord. Lots of things that people believed that weren't from him. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's Psalm 19, verse 7. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We're going to go, well, still the next verse. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Notice what David said here. God warns us. And for those who heed his warning, there is a great reward. If a person has a covenant with God through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we have the right to tell his statutes and remind him of our covenant blessings. But for those who hate discipline and cast his words behind them, he calls them wicked and tells them they have no right to talk about his word or his covenant. Remember when we were talking about that in Psalm 50, verses 16 and 17? But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and cast my word behind you. You know, just because someone quotes the word, that really doesn't mean much to the Lord. It's like, hey, do you love him? Do you do what he says? Do you want to hear what he has to say? What is your point? God wants you to know him. It's not some ritualistic thing he's looking for. He wants a relationship. And so, well, let's keep going. We're going to go in Psalm. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. And you know what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, because the scriptures make us wise to salvation through Christ Jesus. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, his word is alive. It has power. It's a sword that cuts off the carnal nature if we allow it to and apply it. And if we'll receive discernment, we'll be able to align our thoughts with the mind of Christ. Think about Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. We're going to wait till next week to start the next part of this because I'll just make a statement here for next week. We're going to start at the beginning because we have to understand that we're made in the image and likeness of God and he gave us dominion. And if we understand that we have a spiritual enemy who's out to destroy the image of God in us, if we apprehend by the Spirit of God that we are the ones that have authority on the earth and that the whosoever receives the Lord Jesus, he came to restore what he did not steal. That's in the Psalms. Because of the disobedience of Adam, Eve was duped because she believed the lie that God was withholding wisdom because she was already created in the image of God, and she didn't need any dark, icky wisdom. She didn't need deep, dark secrets of the enemy of her soul. And this is the same war that wages really over every human soul. And I'm just going to, before I play the music, I just want to leave you until next week with Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created him. And it is truly the enemy of our soul. He wants to destroy the image of God in us because the devil hates our guts. And his M.O. is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And then he projects thoughts into a person's heart, into their mind, that God is our enemy and he was the one that caused it. And that is a lie. And so we're going to get into that a little next week. No, we're going to get into that next week. We're going to talk about Adam and Eve. We're going to talk about Cain. And I don't know if we'll have more time than that. So I'm going to stop, and I'm going to play a song for you. And thank you so much for joining. And it's called Not in My Own Strength, because if we read the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to put his life in us, because when we are born into his family, guess what? The Holy Spirit lives within us. And now if we put the Word of God in our hearts, he can use that to really help us to become partakers of the divine nature. And so let's play Not in My Strength by Missy Edwards.
Better to draw
love for beautiful you. Music.
Lost.